church. Boy, it's great to see your smiling faces out there today, and I want to share a couple things with you. In your pew or on your bulletin, actually, there's a little connection card in there. Looks a lot like this right here. Information opportunity for you and for us as well. Maybe there's some things that you'd like to have prayed for. Good space on the back for that. This one's from our Sunday school class, so it's all filled in already. But we'd love you to fill this out for us so that we can pray for you and let you know that that you matter. We'll be contacting you in one way or the other if you'll do that. No pressure whatsoever, just to let you know that it matters to us that you came by to be part of this today. In your bulletin, there's a lot of very interesting stuff, some words of wisdom, some stuff to make you smile, some different opportunities that are there throughout the week for you to be a part of. So I would ask you, if you would, just to make sure that you read through this and understand it. There is one correction in the bulletin. In the middle of the inside page, it says another opportunity. Margie Singleton's 95th birthday, not 85th birthday. And you're encouraged there, if you would, to send her a birthday card wishing her a happy birthday, a happy 95th. There's an address in there as well. Lots of opportunities for things throughout the week. We just appreciate the fact that you're here. If you're visiting with us, it absolutely matters. If you don't have a church home, you might be looking for a place. We'd love for you to come be part of us. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we want to thank you so much for today, the privilege that's ours. Thank you, Father, for loving us and taking such good care of us. Thank you for Jesus and the sacrifice that he made for us. And today, Lord, we have a special time of remembrance, Lord, that we call the Lord's Supper. And Father, I just pray that as we spend this time together today and as we have this privilege, Lord, that you would speak to us up close and personal. Lord, speak to us in such a way, Father, that we would be encouraged to make necessary decisions. And Lord, once again, I thank you for those visiting. I thank you for those, Lord, who may be looking for a church home. I thank you for those who are out of town, Lord, who are visiting with family. For everyone and all of those that are here, Lord, we just give you praise and glory. We love you, Father, and we thank you for all you are and all you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's continue our worship service by singing hymn number 141.
Thank you. you for this day and for this time now that we get to participate in this service. Lord, we do look at the cross, and we thank you for that cross that you died upon that. But Lord, we look at it now, and it's an empty cross because you're not there. You were buried, but you rose. And Lord, now you sit at the right hand of God. And also today, we have the privilege of participating in the Lord's Supper, Lord, where you said, we do these things in remembrance of you and the shedding of your blood and your body that was sacrificed on that cross for us, for the we hope of eternity with you. So, Lord, again, as today we go through this service, I pray, Lord, that those who might not know you, today would be the day they would come to accept you as Savior, the day they have that hope that we have. So, Lord, as we continue now by just offering back a portion of the many wonderful blessings you bestowed us with, Lord, I just pray as we gather this, that you would use the funds to further your kingdom, that people throughout the world can hear the message of Jesus Christ that they've never heard before. So again, everything we do and say today, we just give you praise for it in Christ's name.
Perfect salvation is wonderful love. I shout with the
worship service by turning to hymn number
407, Because He Lives.
Waiting on the other side. side of heaven, I do not know. All the troubles I'll face in this life, but when my time shall come to go, I know Jesus is waiting on the other side.
Other side.
On the other side, my loved ones are waiting there. On the other side, there'll be no worries or cares. Faster than sound, one day I'll fly. And I know Jesus is waiting on the other side.
Well, I'm just okay with that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Once again, good morning, church. Thank you so much for being here. What a privilege we have today to worship a little bit here and to sing the songs and to enjoy the songs and to fellowship together. God is good, isn't he? All the time. God is good. If you brought the Word of God with you today, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 31, or through 30. Before I forget to make this announcement while you're turning there, Wednesday night, always the Wednesday following the Sunday that we get to observe the Lord's Supper, we will have a laying on of hands service with prayer, something that we do following the Lord's Supper on a Sunday. So if you would like to be prayed for and you'd like to be anointed, and to have your hands laid on you and prayed for you, prayer for you, we would love to do that on a Wednesday night. Our service starts at 6. If you would prefer to come earlier, we have a wonderful meal and fellowship time in our fellowship hall over here. You're certainly welcome to come and be a part of that as well. And then we will come in here, and it would be our privilege to pray for you. So, having said that, if you'll follow along with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Would you pray with me? Lord, we appreciate your word. We thank you, Father, for the instructions that you give us, Lord, throughout your word. Truths that we need to know, things that we need to observe, observations that we need to take close look at. And Father, I pray today as we enjoy this service, Father, that we would also, you would awaken our memories. Father, sometimes I realize that we become gospel hardened because we may have heard the same story over and over and over again. Lord, sometimes it doesn't seem to mean that which it should mean. So I pray that you would speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, open our hearts, open our minds. May we truly worship this morning and always be thankful for the incredible price that you paid so that we might have salvation. We love you, Lord. We thank you so much for all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The Apostle Paul here is writing to the church at Corinth, and he's being very clear. Paul doesn't mince very many words. If you've read most of his writings, you understand he just gets to the point. He has something to say, and he says it. And he's going to share with this group of Christians here at the church at Corinth. He's going to tell them about the night that he observed this supper with his disciples. It would be the same night that he was betrayed and hauled away to his crucifixion. But Paul has some concerns. Although this is a church, although these are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, their behavior and the way they have handled the Lord's Supper is not pleasing at all to Paul. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. He discusses three very specific things. First of all, the problems of believers making a mockery of the Lord's Supper because of abuses that were practiced at the agape feast or the meal that was traditionally eaten before the supper. It was common for them to have a meal together before they had the observance of the Lord's Supper. And the sad reality of that is that they began to abuse this fellowship opportunity by doing some things that Paul would draw attention to a little bit later on here. And it was very much disappointing to him. The second thing is that he wants the folks who are involved in the Lord's Supper to take it seriously. This is not just something that we tack on to the end of a service because it's our time during the month to take it. We need to be very serious and very honest about the involvement in the Lord's Supper. And he talks about the warning, thirdly, he talks about the warning to take the supper unworthily. And by that, he means basically, and I'll share this with my heart today, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you have professed him as your Lord and Savior, your church membership does not matter in the taking of the Lord's Supper. If you are a visitor here and you are a believer, would you please be involved in partaking with us the Lord's Supper? However, I will go the next step. If you are not a believer, you have never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, as respectfully as I know how to say it, this is not for you. And it would be a mistake for you to take it. Okay? Not trying to be your judge, just being honest to what the Word of God shares with us this morning. This is an open communion. Please, please feel free if you are able to do so. In verses 17 through 22, and I didn't read that, but I'll read it now. Paul is talking directly to those who are abusing the conduct at the meal. Read with me, if you would, verse 17 and following. Now, in this place I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Like I said, Paul doesn't mince very many words. He just simply looks at this group of believers and he says, you're making a mockery out of the Lord's Supper, and it wasn't designed to be that way. That's not how I received it. That's not how it's supposed to be practiced. There are some things that you need to know about. They were doing harmful and degrading things to the communion. Their actions in gathering were not for the better. Paul says it was for the worse. And he simply wasn't pleased with them. Sometimes in leadership, you just have to call it like it is and say, look, this is not going to fly. Or in southern language, that dog won't hunt. You know what I'm saying? We can't do it this way. We shouldn't do it this way. There are some things that need to be addressed and corrected. Heresies are exposed here. He talks about that. He talks about class distinctions between the rich and the poor. and the level of selflessness and inconsiderateness that's going on here. These folks have taken what was designed to be a wonderful moment of fellowship between believers and even those who came as non-believers would be able to enjoy the fellowship meal together. Deep down in my heart, I hope one day here at Lena Vista we'll be able to reenact this same process and that we'll be able to do an agape meal or a love meal, a fellowship meal before we enjoy the great memory of the Lord's Supper. But they did that. The problem was is that they abused it. They turned it into something that it was never intended to be. Their actions and their attitude and their thinking was nullifying the spiritual meaning of the communion. And so Paul, he addresses this abuse, and he tells them that it has to stop. We can't do this any longer. And the rich was bringing a lot of food because they could. The poor was bringing little or no food because that's all they could do. And rather than share this together and distribute it equally among all the members that came, the rich kept their stuff and they ate almost into excess. And the Bible tells us even to the point where some were drunk and the poor did without. Many of them had nothing to eat or they had very little to eat. So it's almost like cliques were formed within the body, and the rich stayed with the rich, and the rich ate their food, and they enjoyed themselves, and many of them drank to the point of becoming drunk, and the poor had little or nothing, and they stayed within themselves, and they ate what they brought, if they brought anything at all. And Paul says, you're bringing contempt on the house of God, and you're humiliating the poor. Now, I know this is not fun to hear. It's not any more fun to preach, but it was selfish, and it was a shameful display. And Paul wasn't going to have it. So he said, I can't commend your actions because they don't agree with the spirit of the Lord's Supper as he had received it and as he had passed it on to them. And that was the passage of Scripture that I began. So in verse 23, he simply says, this is how I received the Lord's Supper. This is how it was brought to me. And my intention is that we continue it in the spirit in which I received it here. So he then rehearses for them the original event, beginning by establishing when it took place. It was the same night that Jesus was betrayed. He took bread and he took the wine and he distributed these things to his disciples. He prayed over the bread, then he distributed it, and he told them that it represented his body that would very soon be broken on their behalf and on the behalf of all those who would believe in him as Lord and Savior. So Jesus, on the very last night before he was betrayed, on the same night he was betrayed, in his heart was not sorrow for what was going to happen to him. In his heart was a desire to make sure that those folks who were following his disciples would understand the real meaning behind what he was about to endure. In my prayer earlier, I mentioned becoming gospel hardened. I'm concerned, church, that we're getting that way. When you hear the story over and over again, the magnitude of it kind of disappears. The absolute depth of the remembrance that our Lord wanted for us, we don't get to that place every now and then. I have never believed that we ought to just attach the Lord's Supper to the end of a regular service. I believe we ought to talk about the Lord's Supper and share about the Lord's Supper and talk about what the Word of God says and talk about why Jesus instituted it in the very beginning. That the whole service that we have here talks about what we're getting to do here over toward the remainder of the service. So he continues to tell them they were to eat this thing in remembrance of him. But what would it be that they would remember? Oh my goodness. Gospels are full of things that they could remember. Now I'm keenly aware, folks, when you and I begin to remember, there are some painful things that we can remember. Abuses or issues, standing by the graveside of a loved one, losses that occur during our life, relationship failures and hurts and pains and issues, and I get it. There are some things when we remember them up close and personal, they are very hurtful and very difficult. But then again, there are other times that we have memories that are magnificent, memories of sharing with family, memories of being successful, memories of having wonderful things take place in our life, of maybe meeting our life mate or being able to bring children into the world. I mean, you can go on and on and on. You can fill in the blanks on your own. So I understand memories can be both painful, but they can be wonderful as well. So Jesus is saying to his disciples, we're doing this tonight. And every time you do this, as the days go on, you do this to remember me. So if all we do here this morning, folks, is to spark a memory about the magnificent Jesus that we serve, it will have been successful. And as I speak these words to you, I want you to just think about it. Think about how magnificent our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. He was perfect, sinless, and he laid down his life for you and I, that we might have salvation, so that when our last breath is taken here, we are translated into eternity forever and ever to be with our Lord Jesus Christ. What a price, what a victory, what a joy should be ours as we remember that sacrifice. So you can understand why Paul would be frustrated when he saw the abuse that was taking place. What was designed to be a memory of the things that they were soon to experience. They would soon begin to understand what he was talking about, because they would see him as he was arrested. They would see him as he was beaten. They would see him even from a distance as he was crucified. And it would literally change their lives. And it's designed, my friends, to do the same for you and I. We need to take a close look, a real close look, at the price that Jesus has paid. That's why we continue to get together and worship. It's a thankfulness that runs way down deep inside. It's a great appreciation for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, for the love of God in sending Jesus, for the love of Jesus in doing everything that he did for our behalf. We sometimes talk about the things that we just take up and we stand against something. And a lot of messages that are preached today wind up being against something. And I want you to know, my friends, today I'm talking about something that we need to be for. Something that God is for in our lives. Something that he wants us to remember. So Paul then says to them, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. And as you drink this thing, I want you to understand that. And he said again, do this in remembrance for me. In remembrance of me. And for as often as you eat this, verse 26, bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Do you realize that when you do this, you're preaching? St. Francis of Assisi said it best. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And if necessary, use words. Don't you love that? That's pointed, isn't it? What means it? My actions and your actions. What we do verifies or cancels what we say. Words are cheap. And if you're good at it, you can sell anything. Okay? To near about anybody. Paul is telling this church that was so blessed, so incredibly blessed. He's telling this church, y'all are missing the point. This agape meal, this love feast is designed to be a fellowship of believers, and we are to come together and be unified in this process. We are to do away with heresies. We are to do away with selfishness. We are to do away with those things that would not bring glory to God and honor to the house of God. We need to take this whole process extremely seriously, because it is. Our Lord and Savior himself, from his own words, these are words that are printed in red. If you have a red letter Bible, those are words of Jesus himself. And that's what he said for you and I to do as well. Wherefore, verse 27, whosoever, that's me and you, shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Oh my. You mean I have a responsibility in this process? Yes. Yes. We have a responsibility in this process. Jesus told us to do it in remembrance of him, and every time we do it until he comes again. We're not really told how often we have to do this. That varies from church to church. It varies from denomination to denomination. Some churches and places do it every week. Some do it once a month. Some do it once a quarter. We're not told how often to do it, but we're told as often as we do that in remembrance of what he paid for you and I. And it involves the personal application of the Lord's death in our testimony. Every time you partake of the Lord's Supper, you are making a statement that he is my Lord, he is my Savior. I recognize the price he paid. I give him honor and glory that he's so worthy of. And it is my privilege to involve myself in this process and have a real, genuine, and honest remembrance of what an awesome Savior we serve. This, my friends, is a privilege, but it comes with a huge level of responsibility. A lot of times this part of that passage doesn't get preached because folks don't want people to become uncomfortable. We don't want to stand up and say it might not be for everybody in the building, but you know what? That's the Word of God, and I'm responsible unto Him as well as you to preach it like it's written here. And my friends, it's serious. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, please, please do not take this today. And you might think, well, I'm going to be embarrassed if I pass it off. Pass it off anyway. Please, I beg you. It's a strong Word of God here. It means participating in an irreverent or a sinful way by resulting in sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. Or any other sinful kind of approach would be unworthy as well. The issue here is the manner, which also indicates the heart. Some were gluttons and some were lazy and some were drunk. And Paul is just simply saying, that's unacceptable. That's not how we do this. That's not why we do this. You know, and I'm a firm believer that how we do what we have to do is many times every bit as important as that we do what we have to do. Because you can open or close somebody's spirit by being mean or ugly or angry. And can you imagine trying to have a fellowship within a body of believers when you have this group over here who is drinking till they're almost drunk and they're eating, and this group over here it has nothing to eat or very little to eat, and they are as divided as this, as the road here down the middle of the church divides us. And the one thing we would never want to become, church is divided. That's not the purpose of this. It was never the purpose of the agape meal. So how do we guard against this whole process? What on earth can I do, Brother Kenny? How can I take this morning and feel okay about it? Word of God's very clear. Let a person examine himself. What? That becomes your responsibility this morning. I need to take a real close look at where I'm at and what's going on with my life. We're going to have an opportunity to confess our sins before the Lord. You don't have to come to the altar during the invitation. You can do it right where you stand. But may I say to you that these are available. And if you feel like the Lord's Spirit is getting you up out of your chair and you need to come down here and have a conversation with the Lord, that's going to happen before we ever observe the Lord's Supper. That's what it means by examining. That means I need to take a real close look. Is there anything in me that would prevent me from taking the Lord's Supper today? If so, I need to confess that to the Lord and get that straightened out. Self-examination guards against eating and drinking to their own judgment through not recognizing the importance of this supper that commemorates the death of Jesus. This judgment is not God's eternal judgment that winds up. If you don't take this today, you're not headed to hell. Don't get me wrong. But I will say to you this. The Bible's very clear that no man comes to the Father except through the Son. There is no plan B for my salvation or yours. I've said this before and I'll say it again. I heard this. I didn't just happen in my heart. If there's a plan B for my salvation and yours, if the cross of Jesus Christ was not enough, then God made the worst mistake in the history of the universe by allowing Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you and I if there's a plan B somewhere. He didn't. There is no plan B. And as lovingly as I know how to say this to you today, please don't leave this building unless you know that you know that you know, as my former pastor, Jay Dennis, used to say, that if you died today, you'd wake up in the arms of Jesus. My friends, it's as real as it gets. I'm not promised that I'm going to get out of here today alive. I don't believe in putting pressure and scaring people into any kind of relationship with Jesus Christ, but the reality of the moment is that people die that quick. One moment my heart is beating, and the next moment I am stepping into eternity. Are you ready? That's the biggest question of the day. It's not the eternal judgment that they're talking about here, but you can get the judgment of God in your life by levels of disobedience. You can get the judgment of God in your life for all sorts of things. This gives us an opportunity to take a real close look at where we are and simply say, Lord, I'm sorry. I confess my sins to you. I'm asking you to forgive me. And the good news today, my friends, is he's standing ready and waiting to do just that, to forgive you. And that's so important. So it's a matter of being prepared in heart. Why would that be? Because this is worship, my friends. This is an act of worship. It's a recognition of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why it's important that we take some time to do what needs to be done before we take the supper. It's a serious matter to take this lightly. Paul said so very clearly. So in the next few minutes, what we're going to do is we're going to have some time to examine ourselves and to get our hearts ready for God. I think that's every bit as important as taking of the Lord's Supper would ever be. So what I'm going to ask, Mark, if you'll come, and the ladies will, Mark, Matt, if you'll come to the organ. We're going to have an invitation song. If you're here today and you need the Lord Jesus to be your Savior and you would confess your sins and receive Him as your Lord and Savior, you can do that in your seat, and I get that. It's never our intention to embarrass anybody. But if you'd love to come down here and let me pray with you and make that real today, nail it down today. Know for a fact when you leave here that if you don't make it home today, you're going to step out into eternity in the open arms of Jesus Christ. That's got to be worth knowing deep down in your heart. And when we've had an opportunity to examine ourselves and make those things right, then I'll bring the men forward and we'll observe the Lord's Supper. I'll meet you down front if you'd like to come down and pray with me. This altar is wide open if you'd like to come here and pray on your own. We'll give this a period of time to examine ourselves and to get it right. Thank you. Brother Larry, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, oh, thank you for what you did on that cross for each and every one of us. Lord, I hope each and every one of us, including me, Lord, has searched our heart before we take part of this. Lord, I just thank you for the many blessings that you put upon us each day. Lord, we take the good with the bad and we still keep going because we have faith in you. Lord, again, I thank you for this church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Jesus said on that night, this is my body, which is broken for you. Take, eat this, always in remembrance of me. Would you lead us in prayer?
Father, again, I thank you for this time. I thank you for that privilege that we can sit and pause another time just to reflect on ourselves. Lord, we praise you again for hanging on that cross and shedding that blood. It's your blood, that sacrifice on that cross to gain us that home. So again, we continue through this service.
Jesus also said, "This is the New Testament in my blood. As often as you do this in remembrance of me." I want to thank you so much for being here today. I hope and pray that the Spirit of God has made the Word of God real to you this morning, and you've had a genuine worship experience. These are special moments that we get to observe as a church. And I appreciate you being here and being involved in that. Once again, let me emphasize, if you're visiting with us for any reason whatsoever, thank you for being here. And we hope and pray that if it's convenient for you, you live local, you're looking for a church, that you'll give us some thought and some consideration. But we genuinely do appreciate you being here. May God bless you for everything that you say and do in the weeks to come. Brother Mark.
Let's all stand and be dismissed. Father, again, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for what a great opportunity today has been. Lord, we just pray that the things that we do will honor and glorify you. We thank you that all the blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day, and Lord, we just pray that you will watch over us and bring us back tonight. In Christ's name, amen.